Okay, it's my great privilege to just welcome Armo and Cornell, if they can come forward, and their two little ones. Nou, hierdie is lekker mense. Armo was a student pastor at Shofar Stellenbosch, and he studied theology. And Cornell was involved with Prochorus, the community arm of the church there. And so they moved to George about 5 months ago. And so they're running the show there. And it's just been really good to get to know them. I can really see this is a long-term friendship that God is establishing. And there's a massive calling upon their lives. God's going to do incredible things through them. And so we just want to welcome them and receive them. Armo's going to be ministering the word this morning, and we're going sort of on a retreat in this week. The pastors from Durban are also coming. And so we're going to plan changing the world in small steps. And so we're looking forward to an amazing week. Okay, let's just put our hands together for them. And over to you, Armo.
Okay, so let me just get my notes out. Okay, I have a few confessions before I start. I picked up a tummy bug yesterday, so everything of George is now somewhere in East London. So if I'm starting to run to this side, just know I'm just following the example of my tummy. So it's just so that you know, it was quite a hectic battle. From 3 o'clock this morning. Thanks. We know Andre. Thanks for that dry place. Okay, it's a massive privilege for me. We're now in George, and it's just it's amazing to be part of a church like Shofar, a movement like Shofar. And I must tell you, we love your pastors. They are busy doing some phenomenal work, pioneering something really great, not only for East London, but also for the Shofar movement. So maybe before we start, just take your hand out, show it towards them, and tell Andre and Sonika, you bless them with everything that you have. And if you want to donate to the Sound Fund, then you can also do that. And we just bless them. I just want to pray for them before we start. Lord, thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we can pray for our pastors and our leaders. Lord, you have said in your word, Lord, that we must constantly pray for the people in leadership. Lord, and today we pray for Andre and Sonika. Thank you that you are seeing everything that they are doing behind the scenes. Thank you for their work of love, their labor of love, Lord, in this congregation, Lord. And we pray that they will see just the fruit of their labor in their generation. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm not just saying that because I have to say it and Andre forced me to do it. No, I'm really believing that. God has been blessing me through just our times together, our fellowship over Google Hangouts. Skype is old generation Google Hangouts. You should get into that. So it's really amazing. Privileged to be here. Okay, so if we look around in the world today and you see so many things that you don't like, the evil exists. It's like dysfunctional families, marriages, we have corruption, we have Nkandla, we have so many bad things in this world. Eh? And we are constantly confronted with that in our world. If you read a newspaper, the other day I was speaking to a journalist, actually an editor of a newspaper there in George. And she was telling me she need more sensationalism in a newspaper because that is what sells. So we get fed so much evil, so much, I must say, rubbish, so much bad things that's happening in our world. Even like a couple of years ago, I remember that this subliminal advertising that they would do in movies. Whoever you remember that old story. where they would flash in a split second, they would flash something like a Coca-Cola advertisement, and you would be bombarded with that image. And when you walk past the Coca-Cola stand, you would just, oh, I need to get that Coke. I don't know why, I just need to get that. Some people call it cravings. Those of you who have pregnant wives, they call it cravings. But just subliminal messaging. I don't know where they... But we get bombarded with visual stuff so many times in the newspapers, in the things that we read, billboards, and most of it, if you just, I think percentage-wise, if you look at those things that we get fed by media and by advertising companies, are negative things. So how do we as Christians go about walking the road with God and actually impacting our society while everything that we see is so much negative and evil in a big way? How do we go about impacting society? And I believe Paul had an answer to that. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 18, just previously in the chapter, he starts off by saying, yes, the kind of afflictions that they are suffering are really just small and it's little, and they're not really suffering too heavily because he can see the unseen. And then he says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. He's looking and saying and speaking and preaching to the church at Corinth and saying, what are we seeing? He says, those things that he is facing, those afflictions, are small in comparison to the unseen reality of God. And he suffered, man. He was in prison. He got beaten. He faced so many difficult struggles in his life, and still he's able to say this, that those afflictions are small in comparison to the unseen reality of God, the goodness of God in our lives. And I want to give you today, I believe, one of the keys that God has given me to understand and to walk a life where we can focus on the unseen reality of God. And it has to do with what we can see, or our vision, the way that we see things in our life. So what is the ultimate unseen reality? It's God. He is a super reality. Who of you have seen God? Who of you have seen God? Okay, those of you who have seen God, you don't exist anymore, because that's what the Bible says. You can't see God and live. We haven't seen God, but still, we know that he is true. Who of you agree? God is true. So, in the beginning, Genesis 1, it says that the Spirit hovered over the earth, and there was chaos, and then God spoke. He spoke from being the spiritual being. He spoke reality, the nature, things that we know, mountains, everything into being. But first, there was the Spirit. So if we think of reality, we must think that the spirit reality is more real than what we can see. Just touch your chair and say, sorry, brood, you're not as real as God is. Just do that. Because that is true. And I think we especially Western people, we think very materialistic in terms of what we can touch, that is real. What I can feel, what I can experience, that is real. But God's saying, I am a God, and I am spirit, and I am more real than the things that you can touch, the things that you can see. And how do we go about focusing on that reality? Like Paul was saying, focusing on the unseen, so that everything is seen from that perspective. Because God is real. I'm the third generation pastor in our family, and when my granddad was 14 years old, he received God. And I must tell you, it's amazing to see just the kind of blessings that God has imparted through his life into our family, the O'Kennedy family, just because of his decision to follow God, a God that became a reality in our lives. And if you'd ask my cousins, if you'd ask my dad, his brothers, about the reality of God, they would tell you that they know that God exists because of what they saw in my granddad, what they experience in their life, and what they're seeing in their children's life. They know that they know that God is real. And I think we battle communicating that with people because we don't understand that yet. We don't have a longing to understand the unseen, the reality of God. And I love it. And Andre is amazing at that. I remember when he preached our congregation like a month ago, he woke up early and I saw the lights went on, and we have little kids, so we also wake up early, not to pray, but to help them out. And then I asked him afterwards, oh, so you were just preparing your sermon. He said, no, I wasn't preparing. I was praying to God. I was praying to God. Have you ever thought of what is prayer? It's speaking to something that you cannot see, but you know it's real because you have a relationship with that something. It's a personality. It's God. So God is real. He is the ultimate reality. And we've all quoted this in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. The Hebrews writer, he says, we must see Jesus. We cannot see him, but we must see Jesus. Because he is a reality in our lives. And if we are running the race of God, the race of life, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, then those other things, they just disappear. They're not as real as God. So why is it important to see? Because what you see will influence the way that you respond to what you see. In the 19th century, the Russian church, they started seeing that the government of Russia is evil. So what did they do? They stopped praying for the government because they thought the government was the Antichrist. So what happened? That government became exactly that which they saw. But God called the church not to see what you see, but to see the unseen reality of God behind everything. Because when we get lifted up to God's dimension, we see things differently. You can look into somebody and somebody can scream at you in your face, and you would be able to discern the pain in that person's life. And you would be able to speak the word of encouragement or to say, you know what, I love you. You know what, Jesus loves you. Because you become real with the things of God. You understand the reality of God. What you see, you will imitate. We all know that children, they don't do what we tell them to do. They do what they see us doing. And we have one of the guys in our church, he's a big farmer in George, and he said it was so sad for him the other day. They went to this Clear School pre-primary, just year-end function, so a little skit and a drama thing happening there. And then the teacher stood up and she said, she's getting really disturbed about what's happening on the farms, because she can see those little kids acting out what they see at their house, what they see at their homes. Because she knows everything that they do, they've picked it up from their family homes. Children, they imitate what they see, and we do the same. That's why it's, for me, a sad reality that media in South Africa, media all over the world, they give you all these pictures of evil, and they give you all this, in a way, they subliminally putting messages into your heart, trying to get you off the track of God. And we must be so focused into God's realm that we can discern those things, and we can walk away, and we can say, okay, but I'm not going to follow those things that I see. I'm going to go for God's glory. Okay. Amen. It's a good place to say amen. What you see, you will act that out. Now, my main portion of scripture, and one of my favorites, because it's also been a scripture that God used to confirm it's my calling for the full-time ministry, is Isaiah 6, verse 1 to. We're going to start with 1 to 4. Andrei, can I maybe get some water, please? I think there's... Yeah, maybe we shouldn't share. Not a good idea to share now. All of us will be running soon. Okay, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, one of the key things when you read scripture is to imagine yourself in scripture. Now see this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. It's Uzziah speaking. He says, I saw the Lord high and exalted. Now imagine seeing God high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, angels, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Okay, so now, are you guys into this now? We see God, and then God is moving, and it just smoke, and it's massive new sound system that Shofar George bought, not Shofar George, Shofar East London bought heaven, and you just feel the presence of God. And then he sees the angels, and they are screaming on the top of their voices. They're screaming, Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now what happened was, Uzziah, the king that died that year, he became king when he was 16 years old. Are there any 16-year-olds in the house today? Okay, you 16-year-olds. Just your friend, just tap on the shoulder, tell her, you can become king right now. You're the king of our friendship. 16-year-old, that's where we're moving. That's where we're moving. And it actually says that this king was an amazing king when he followed God, when he listened and obeyed God. 16 years old. God, with God, nothing is impossible. I'm trusting Andre, and we must pray for that. 16 years old, walking into governmental positions and start to call out the prophecies of God on nations and to start searching after God, calling people together to follow God's voice. And what happened after 52 years of his reign? He desecrated the temple and he suffered and became a leper. And he died like this. So everybody was thinking and hoping that he would repent and then he would get back to being king. But it didn't happen. So then he died, and then the whole nation was mourning. And Uzziah had this experience with God. And so many times when we experience mourning, pain and suffering, we get, okay, now I must go back to God and I must seek him out. And this is exactly what Uzziah did. And then as he was sitting there, standing in the presence of God, the angels start to repeat this. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now we've all heard that phrase. But do you know what that means? It means, in the original Greek, the whole earth is full of his glory. Sorry, Hebrew. Old Testament is Hebrew. Sorry. Andre, I know you teach your people very well, so don't throw me at something. I'm already suffering in my stomach. So, the whole earth is full of his glory. Can we all say that? The whole earth is full of his glory. That means we can't escape the glory of God. So when you read a newspaper and you see evil, corruption, whatever, you must see the glory of God. Because we don't focus on the things we see. We focus on the ultimate reality, and that is God. And that is his glory that fills everything. Why could the angels say that? And they were obviously just responding to God's presence, to God's prompting. And they said, the whole earth is full of his glory. Why would the angels say that? Because we know that we cannot see the glory of God all over this world. We don't see it. All of us, we are so confronted with the evil of this world. And I believe the reason for that is that they were in the presence of the living God, the ultimate reality. They spoke from the throne room of God. See, if we want to get to that place where we see the whole earth full of his glory, then we must get into the throne room of God. We must start at God's presence, at God's feet, so that we can see the whole earth is full of his glory. Now, I've been really just practicing that, and it's been amazing kind of revelation that God has given me to understand that I can see God's glory in every situation. When I'm suffering, when I experience pain, when I'm joyful, I can say that the whole earth is full of his glory. Because that's what all the angels are still singing and screaming from heaven. The whole earth is full of his glory. We are called to an ascended life where we speak, live from the glory of God. We are supposed to be conduits of his glory. And the only place where we'll start to manifest God's glory is where we move and operate out of the presence of God. If you cannot say the whole earth is full of his glory, you must go back into the presence of God and you must ask God and say, God, I need that revelation now. I want to be like one of those angels singing that your glory fills the earth. Because when we have the perspective of angels, we are not only seeing things from God's perspective, we're also placing him at the center of our universe. When you start focusing on the fallenness of mankind, the evil around you, and all the bad reports that we get through the media, what you are doing, you're saying that mankind is in control of this universe. But when you start moving and operating from the throne room of God, and you say that the glory of God fills the earth, what you're saying, God, you are in control. You are the center of my universe. Because the one that rules the earth, his character, his goodness will flood and infiltrate every area and sphere of our lives. See, if we say it's man, yes, then it will be evil all around us. And it's a sad, sad picture of the world. But when we start focusing on God's glory, we can see that God is in control in every single situation. And we can actually say that God's glory is in every situation. And who do you want to be there? Do you want yourself, mankind, to be the center of the universe? Or do you want God to be in the center of the universe? All of us would agree, because we're very religious and we're very spiritual. We'd say, no, God, you're the center of the universe. But then we just start acting that way. And we start seeking God so that we can proclaim God's glory is filling everything. And it's not being naive. It's not saying that we shouldn't see the bad stuff. We shouldn't see where we should have an impact. No, it's not saying that. It's just saying that we are so into God that everything else comes from that perspective. Because if you see God, it's like that old charismatic saying, don't tell your mountain, or don't tell God how big your mountains are, or tell your mountain how big your God is. It just gives you perspective on everything. It gives you perspective on your suffering. It gives you perspective on your financial situation and you awaiting breakthrough. It gives you perspective on your marriage. It gives you perspective on struggles that you are going through, because you can see God's glory in the situation. And you ask God, God, I want to see your glory. So let's quickly do a case study. I remember the first sermon that I preached, I sent it through to my wife and she replied, okay, Almo, it's very philosophical and it's out there, but it's not really very practical. So every time when I prepare a sermon, then I hear my wife's voice. And sometimes the Holy Spirit and my wife sounds very similar. Who have you had that experience? We as men. And we all know this biblical account of Caleb and Joshua and 10 other guys. They were sent into the land of Canaan, and they had to spy out the land. And then they come back, and this is what happened. Numbers 13, 32, 33. It says, "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim.'" It's where demons that intercourse with humans, and then from there, the supersize race emerged. "We seemed like grasshoppers in their own eyes. This was sprinkana for hulle, and we looked the same to them. And Joshua and Caleb said, 'If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.'" And then in Numbers 14:21, it says, "Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors." In verse 27 to 30, "How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. Not one of them will enter the land I saw with an uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb and Joshua." Okay, now it's a long account, but most of us know this. We know this story. 12 guys get sent out, 10 come back and tell everybody, "No, we're not going to go there. These massive Jonah Lomos." Do you remember Jonah Lomo? Bigger than Jonah Lomo. All of them are running around and they're playing rugby and whatever other sports. Are we so afraid of them? We don't even have rugby balls on this side and they're doing this crazy act on that side. But 2 of them come back and they say, "We can do it." And what is the difference? And we're going to look now just at a few things that I want to highlight. Because Joshua and Caleb, they're the perspective from God. They moved from the throne and the glory of God. It actually says that Joshua, whenever Moses went into the temple and Moses went out, Joshua would remain there because he just loved the presence of God. And that's from where he got his perspective. So let's look at Numbers 14, 8 and 9. It says, Joshua and Caleb speaking, they say, "If the Lord is pleased with us," in other words, they know that God is for us. They know that God is for us. And if you following God, if you have a relationship with God, you must know that. And I believe this is one of the great battles that we fight in religious communities. And South Africa is a religious community, is that people don't know that God is pleased with them. And I've only started to realize that when I got a little baby. I walked into that room and little Eva came out and I was, "Wow, I love this girl. She can't do anything for me, but I just love her. I delight in her." And that's the Father's heart. That is God's heart. I'm created in God's image. Therefore, I've had that experience. And I was thinking, I'm fallen. I'm fallen. I'm sinful. And I can have this kind of emotion towards a little kid that I don't even know. Imagine how big God's love is for me and how pleased God is with me. Who of you have had that encounter with God where you know God is pleased with you? I just want to quickly... Okay, but we're going to trust for that at the end. We're going to trust God that He'll show you that He delights in you. We are created in God's image. It's okay. Actually, go and read that account. When he created Adam and Eve, He says He created man in God's image, and then He says it again, He created them in God's image. Because He wanted us to understand that we are created in God's image. God delights in His people. God is like a dad, the best dad ever. If the Lord is pleased with us, is God for us? Then He will lead us into the land flowing of milk and honey. In other words, they're saying God is in control. They know that God is the center of the universe. They're not thinking, okay, but we control everything. We as humans control everything, so we must lead ourselves into this Canaan land. No, they know. God is in control. God is our leader. That comes from a perspective of the throne room of God. If you don't have that, you will never see God's hand in everything. You will never see God's leading because you haven't spent time with God. And then they go on, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. They just know it. We will devour them, because they know the promises that God has made to the Israelite people. They know that God promised them the promised land. That's why it's called the promised land, because God promised the land to them. And then they say this, and for me this is one of the most significant things. They say, their protection is gone. To say that. Their protection is gone. Now, Canaan was a city surrounded, a fortified city, a strong city. There were great walls around the city. And Caleb and Joshua are just so, they just don't see it because they see God. They see God moving on them, and they see God removed their protection on them. So what does it mean? It means that we must see the unseen, the reality of God, the Spirit of God moving in front of us, telling us, go for that breakthrough. Go for it. The protection, it's already yours. It's your promised land. Just go for it. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And then the last point that we can take from this is that don't focus. Whenever we fear, what is fear? Fear, in a way, I don't like the word fear. Fear for me, it's unbelief. We don't trust God's goodness. We don't trust God. If you fear that God will not come through for you, if you fear it, then you unbelieve. You show that you don't know the goodness of God. I know maybe it's harsh for some of you, but I had to battle with that. God, I know that You are a good God. So God, whenever I'm in a situation when I become fearful, I want to experience Your goodness behind me. I want to know, like Romans says, that if You are for me, then nobody else can stand against me. And I've prayed it many times, even before when I speak to people, even when I have to do like a very important meeting with somebody. I pray, God, thank You that You are for me. Thank You, God, that I don't have to be intimidated. Thank You, God, that I do not have to fear that person's rejection. I can just know that the goodness of God is behind me. And think of this, the universe was created by God. And He backs you. I've had experiences where my dad would be like, wow, go for it. I back you. And that's like amazing. and just amped you for the thing that you need to do. But now think God telling you that. But you will never hear it if you don't spend time with God. You'll never understand it if you don't go into the throne room and really desire from God that encounter with God. Don't focus on our fallenness. Like in our church, we spoke to a lady the other day, and she was telling me, but that girl is a Jezebel, and that girl is this, and that guy has this spirit on her. And I just told her, just stop. Okay, what are we going to do now? You're going to tell me, I want to know where all the Joshuas are, where the Moseses are, where all the great men of God, the Davids, are in our church. I don't want to hear about all the... I know about that. I know it. I also see it. But God told us not only to focus on what is going wrong, but He told us to go and focus on the glory of God. Where is the glory of God resting in this congregation? If you pray with Andre, and if you pray with people around you, just ask God before that, God, I want to know where the glory of God is. I want to see the glory of God. And just from experiencing your worship, I can tell you that the glory of God is on this house, and you will go and many people get saved and healed through this congregation, because I just know it, because I can see the glory. It's not even prophecy, it's just experiencing the encounter with God that I've experienced in this place. Yes, there's room for discernment. Yes, I can call a spade a spade. When we had to speak to the students about sex and about things happening in relationship, I would tell them, are you crazy? Are you absolutely stupid? You know what you're doing? You're just messing up yourself by having sex with that person, and you don't even know that person. Why would you want to do that? But I also know that I don't start there. I start by, you know, the kind of calling that God has in your life. You know the kind of glory and thing that you can experience with God. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. That's what the Bible says. So if people walk in here, and we're going to trust, and we're trusting for God to do that in our church in George. When people walk in here with addictions, they would be just, this is so much greater than any trip that I've ever been on. And it's not emotional hype that they would experience. No, they encounter God. 2 weeks ago, it's a pastor at our church in Tigerberg. He shared his testimony. He was a heroin addict. He was a drug dealer. He got saved, and in 2 hours, God delivered him completely. And he just challenged me, Amu, how big is your Jesus? How big is your God? Because I know how big He is. He delivered me from what people said is impossible. He delivered me in 2 hours. And the other day, a girl walked into, after that, she came to my wife and I. And we just started speaking about her being addicted to cocaine, and nobody really knows about it. And I just felt God telling me that I should repent on behalf of the church. And we're not making our greatest desire the glory and the presence of God. Because she should have come into our church and experienced the presence of God so tangibly that she would not have gone back to her old life. And that is God's heart for the church. That we start hosting the presence of God so tangibly, that people just get delivered from sin. And we're starting to experience that, and you guys are like starting to experience it. Just come and ask Andre and tell Andre, I just want to know, tell me a story of what's happening. Or ask your small group facilitator, maybe you're new into this church, tell me of a great miracle. Like, I know Roselda's mom got healed, was 2 weeks ago, last week. Amazing. Tani didn't even know what exalted mean. What was that? We just, on Monday mornings, we have a Skype, and Andre just brags about everyone. Are you Yoni? We've heard too much about you. Congratulations with your baby. And you're married to a doctor, huh? Is that, sorry, I don't know. He just brags about everyone. Okay, so it's the, and when we're in the presence of God, and when we facilitate a God encounter with people, they would be like, wow, sin is so stupid. Sin is absolutely stupid. And there's rumors going around telling us that we shouldn't repent, that we shouldn't say that sin is wrong. No, sin is wrong because it literally means to miss the mark. It means that you are missing God's presence in your life. It is stupid. I grew up as a Dominican kid, so we were not allowed to swear or use any word. So the strongest word that we could use was stupid. So that's why I use stupid for sin. So now you can think of the goodness of God makes sin look stupid. This friend of mine, Wimpy, and I asked him if I could share the testimony. He had this very, very hectic life, and I met him at varsity, and we started spending time together and started talking about God, and I was there when he cried for the first time, I don't know, in 10 years, and he started moving just with God and never wanted to go to Shofar because of him. That was just too radical. But now he's even preaching in a church in Den Haag, charismatic church. And the other day, we were there and we had a mission outreach to Europe, and he said, "Yo, Amo, this church is exactly like Shofar." So I just want to say sorry for giving you guys such a hard time. But this is his story. At age 13, his mom was diagnosed with cancer, and then 9 months after that, she died. And then his dad lost his business, and his dad got a heart attack, and then they had to move. And then he came to varsity, and he was living with his aunt, and she became his mom. And then she got murdered, brutally murdered. Very, very, very heavy story. And so we started walking a road. I started walking a road with him and a couple of friends, and he's really great and awesome guy, big rugby player. And then I would always ask him, because he would hold on to this thing, even though he didn't want to be too spirit-filled or too charismatic about everything. He would hold on to this thing. He would say, "Amo, I just know that God is a good God. I just know it. I have that revelation." And that kept him going all the way through. Even though when his mom died, and then his tunny got murdered, and then eventually his dad also was diagnosed with... he got a beruurte, it's a stroke. And he had to take over his dad's business. He had to care for his dad. And then he went to Holland, and he came back. And during a holiday, it was a terrible car accident. And for 6 months, he was experiencing heavy, heavy pain. And still, he was telling me, "Oh, I just know that God is a good God." So whenever I had to introduce the gospel to people, I would just say, "Okay, Wimpy, let's hear your story." I'd be like, "Wow, Wimpy, that is such a great story," because he would tell of the goodness of God amidst the pain and the suffering that he is experiencing. And then he got healed in the church in Den Haag. He got supernaturally healed in one service, and still he's like, "Amo, I just know the goodness of God, because God never fails." When we start seeing the glory of God all over, God never fails. God never fails. And that, I would love the church to be a church where we can just say, "I'm going through this and this and this and this. But you know what? You know what? God is a good God. God is a good God." And I love the kind of songs that we sing in church. It's, "God, you're a glorious God. God, you're a good God." And some of us just sing it because we have to sing it. We're so used to it. But we do actually saying, we're declaring, and I know Andre is teaching us, we are prophesying that God is a good God. And we are bringing people in because of that prophecy, those declarations into the heavenly realms. Let's go back to that Isaiah scripture. 5 to 8. "Then I said, 'It's all over. No, Isaiah has experienced in God's presence. And he just says, it's all over. I'm doomed. I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips and I live along and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal. It represents Jesus. He had taken from the altar with a pair of tongues. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. This amazing experience that Isaiah is having. And then the Lord replies and he says, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. And it's from that place of God's glory, where you can see God's glory filling the whole earth, that God will tell you, hey, Andre, hey, Yanni, what's your husband's name? Carol. Gerard. It's from that place. Sorry, I thought it was maybe, like, I have a unisex name. Like, people would, Cornell and I would go into places and people would think Cornell is the guy and Armour is the girl. So, I'm really sorry. So, and in this moment of this encounter with the glory of God, God tells Isaiah, I want to send someone. And because Isaiah experiencing God's forgiveness, Jesus, the presence of God, he was like, I can do it. I am willing. I can go out and I can represent the glory of God outside. So we walk in there and we spend time with God. Our vision changes. We see the unseen. We see God is the ultimate reality. And then God sends us with the glory of God so that many other people can have that same encounter with God. And that is my message. And that is the end. But I want all of us just to quickly close our eyes. Seeing the unseen. It's also knowing that God is in this place. You can't go anywhere. You can go anywhere and you can know that God is there. God is right there with us. So I want you to, just like Isaiah, come into the throne room of God. Just see God. Just see God. See the unseen reality of God. And some of you, like Isaiah, might experience a guilt feeling coming up. Because you're now in the presence of God. When we experience holiness, we sometimes become so aware of our fallenness. And that's, God says that's right. But because of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. And I just believe God wants to tell some of you today that he really delights in you, but he wants to do it personally. So in that place where you are now, and you see God, you focus on God, just ask God, God, just tell me how you feel about me. God, just tell me how you feel about me. God, I pray that you start moving amongst us now, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, Lord. You've never left us. You're right here with us. Lord, come and reveal to us just how God feels about us. That God delights in us. Lord, we want to see the goodness of God We want to see the glory of God. And if you're just experiencing now that you've never met with Jesus, you feel that you can't connect with God, you've never met Jesus, you feel guilty. When I talked about the goodness of God, you'd like, Armor, I don't know the goodness of God. I just want you to slip up your hand. God's giving us the opportunity to respond to Him. So if you have never met with Jesus, just respond. God is saying, slip up your hand. I need you to respond. Sometimes when I walk into the room where Nicholas is sitting, I look for his eyes and I need him. I want him, because of my love for him, to respond to me. And that's what God wants from you. Just respond to God. And maybe you've fallen away. Maybe you've become this very skeptical, disillusioned with the church, disillusioned with whatever. But you know that you're far from God. And today God's calling you back to experiencing God's goodness like it was for the first time. If that's you, just quickly raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen, Jesus. Okay, now I just believe that God wants to give many of us eyes to see the unseen reality, the goodness of God. That we have that perspective that the angels have. And if you feel, and if you're experiencing God speaking to you about having the eyes to see God and to see the whole earth full of His glory, you want to walk into a room and you want to see God's glory on every person there in that room. And you want to start speaking. You want to drive through East London. You want to start speaking where the glory of God rests. If you want to do that, if you want to experience God in that way, just slip up your hand. Okay, thank you, God. Again, now those of you that slipped up your hand, let's start by doing this. It's a proclamation. Maybe it's going to be something that just feels like you're just saying it. But God wants us to start saying it so that we can see it. And you're going to do it now, and then you're going to get into your car and you're going to start speaking it. Let's do what the angels did. Say after me, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Say it again, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth is full of His glory. God, thank you for that confession, Lord. We know, Lord, that you see our hearts and you listen to our words. And you react to that, Lord. Lord, now I ask, Lord, that you start removing just those shutters on our eyes, Lord, so that we can see the unseen. We want to see the glory of God, Lord, in our families, in our marriages. We want to see those things, Lord. We want to see it in our business. We want to see it in our schools, Lord. We want to see it in our friendships. We want to see it in relationships. Thank you, God. You are there, Lord. Lord, we many times fail to see you. We many times fail to see the glory of God filling the whole earth. But Lord, we choose now to see it, to start see it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I know there's some of you that need to come forward for that. And you're gonna tell me, Amal, I just can't see beyond the negative. I just can't see behind my own fallenness. And I know some of you responded to some of the altar calls also. We want to pray for you. You need to respond. God just is looking for that connection with you, and He's asking you, just respond. You can't save yourself. You can't remove the veil from your eyes, but I can do it. Okay, so I think we're going to, let's stand up, and those of you who need to come forward. Okay, those people that want to respond, those people battling with negativity, those people struggling to see the goodness of the Lord, maybe you're that in that situation and you want to be like Paul said, those afflictions are small in my perspective that I have of this world, because I come from the glory of God and I see the glory of God in the whole earth. So please, please respond. Just move from your chair and respond. Thank you. Thank you for that. We need to respond.
I feel specifically that people are really battling with negativity. It's like, it's the way you look at life. You always see the bad. You always see the wrong. Half cup empty instead of half cup full. And I just sense God wants to really touch you. There's such a word from the Lord. And the Lord has really ministered to me as well. We really need to see with His eyes. With His eyes. So just come forward if you need to. Need to have prayer, and anybody that you feel you've drifted from the Lord, just come forward, and we're going to pray with you. And just some facilitators, just come and join. Just come forward, some of the facilitators, life group leaders, just come and stand with somebody.
Yeah, I'm just experiencing like God saying, "There's a man in you, in your business. You just pouring out almost the wrath of God and people around you and in your business." And God says, this is an opportunity for you to respond. He wants to fix your tongue to start speaking blessing. And yes, you are waiting for that breakthrough and you've prayed to God. But God says, the moment I want to bless you, you start speaking those negative words again. And God, He can't act on that. You're waiting for breakthrough, but you're just so negative. You're just constantly speaking negative things over your employees and over the business that you're in.
Just want to end off with a prayer for us. So we're going to pray with the people here in front. If you need prayer for anything, you're welcome to come forward. Maybe there's just sickness in your life, then we can pray with you. But I just want to pray for faith, that God would fill us with eyes of faith. Father, we thank you for this word this morning. We receive it. The whole earth is full of your glory. Our lives are full of your glory. Our neighborhoods, East London, is full of the glory of God. And so, Lord, we receive eyes to see. And we receive the grace to start speaking that life, to agree with you. God, we're going to see glory. We're going to see your goodness. And so, Lord, we just release that. And we receive supernatural faith to see with the eyes of God. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. And receive this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.